series. Can you hear me now? Turn to your neighbor and ask that question. Can you hear me now? How many know it's hard to get good reception in the metal building? I have the hardest time in getting cell phone coverage inside the church. And I have to stand at the front door and many times to walk out in the parking lot. So many times it's funny because I'll be out there talking on the cell phone. I'm in the parking lot and I'm in a conversation. I'm out there walking the parking lot like this, you know. And people driving by Rangeland honking at me. Some of you know what I'm talking about. Some of you see you will drive by Rangeland honking. There's my crazy pastor out in the parking lot, walking the parking lot, talking on the cell phone. That's because I can't get reception inside here, so I have to go out there and talk when I'm talking on my cell phone. But how many know that sometimes that's the way it feels, that can you hear me now? That God is speaking. And many times we have a hard time tuning in. Do you realize right now in this air right now that there is wavelengths coming through, even as we speak, there is TV stations are transmitting, all the local stations are transmitting what's going on right now and send them through satellites and through TV stations throughout the four-state area. There's FM radio transmissions going through AM. We have cell phone. We have internet. All these different things are coming through the air. The frequencies are there and are actually flowing through here right now. If we could reach up, we'll probably touch some right there. It's going everywhere. But how many know that even though they're here, unless I am tuned in, I don't hear what's going on? Unless I am tuned in, I don't actually hear or see what that's actually being transmitted. And today we're continuing our series, Can You Hear Me Now? As we're learning to tune in and to hear what God is saying. Because we know that God speaks. Not only does he speak, we know God is speaking to his people. And we want to learn to hear God's voice and identify it. And today we're going to continue as we talk about how to identify God's voice. And today's subject is, bring it up, how to test God's voice. How to test God's voice. How do you know when it's God talking and not the pizza you ate the night before? How do you know when it's God talking or Satan talking? How do you know when it's you talking and wanting something greater, when it's God actually speaking to you? So today we're going to talk about how do you test this? How do you know when it's God speaking to you? Listen to Proverbs 14:12. It says, what you think is the right road may lead to death. What you think is the right road may lead to death. This is very important to know. When is it God talking to you, and when is it you talking to yourself? When is it that God's talking to you, and when is it that Satan is trying to get you to something you should not do? We hear people all the time talking, God told me to do this. How many remember the lady who tragically killed her children, stoned her children in Texas? She got in court, and she said, God told me to kill my kids. Now, some of you maybe have heard those voices before, but that was not God. God doesn't tell you to kill your kids. God would not tell you, but yet many times we put that word with everything we do. God told me to do this. God told me to buy this. God told me to go here. God told me, and we blame God for everything, and I wonder how much is God really leading us, and how much are we just using that as a catchphrase? How much are we just using that to make ourselves feel like, yeah, I'm in God's will. Yes, God speaks to me just like he speaks to anybody else. But God is speaking. But we always hear his voice, and we always know it's the right voice that he's speaking to us. That's his voice. 1 John 4:1 says, don't believe. Don't believe everything you hear just because somebody says it's a message from God. Test it first. See if it really is. Notice what it says. Test it. Everybody say test it. Test it first and see. Don't believe just because someone says this is from God. Do I say, all right, this must be God because he said it's from God? No, I test it. I test it. And today we're going to talk about this. How do you test it? Real quickly, in Matthew 16, we see a story here. A flip-flopper. How many know that John Kerry was not the first flip-flopper? Okay. We see in Scripture here, we have some major flip-flopper right here in Matthew chapter 16. It's Peter. And look what Peter says. And Jesus is talking to Peter, and Jesus is talking to Peter. He says, Peter, listen, this is how you're going to die. This is what's going to happen to you in the future. And Peter looks over at John. Now, Peter had just been kind of restored. He had already denied Christ. You know, this thing had happened with Christ. He had denied him and came back and repented. And Peter's talking to Jesus, and Jesus is like, listen, Peter, it's okay. I forgive you. But yet, in the future, you're going to suffer some bad things. And he's telling him about how he was going to die. And Peter looks over at John and goes, but God, what about him? Remember what he said also at the table? I wasn't the only one that was kind of giving you some grief here. He also said it. What about him? And look at what Jesus says here in chapter 16. It's such a cool story, and he's talking about it. And he says, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you are Christ, the Son of the living God. This is what Jesus says. You are right, Peter. That idea did not come from human wisdom, but it came from what? It came from my Heavenly Father. So God gave you that. So we see where God is speaking to Peter, reveals that, yes, Jesus is the Son of God. He says, you didn't hear that by yourself. That was God speaking to you. Then just as fast as he says God is speaking to you, look what happens here. Then Peter says, wait a minute, God, what about this guy? What do you want him to do? And look what Jesus says to him. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What's going on here? What's going on here? And Jesus stops, and only he said that, but this is what he says. He says, Peter, I'm going to die. You're going to die. He says, Peter, what's going to happen here? He says, I'm going to die a hard death here. It's going to be on the cross. I'm going to die. And Peter says this, Jesus, you don't want to do that. That's nonsense. You don't want to die for these guys that don't love you. You want to die for the sins of the world. You want to die for them. Jesus said this, Peter, Satan, get behind me. So in one instance, he's telling him, hey, you know, God's revealed this to you. You're okay. In the other sense, he's saying, Peter, Satan, get behind me. So he says, God gave you the idea. And the next line, he says, Satan gave you the idea. So how fast can we flip-flop? How fast can we hear things? Different voices. We're going to hear different voices. One minute's going to be from God. The next minute, Satan's going to talk into your ear and tell you the exact opposite of what God wants to do. And so how do we do this? How do we test it? How do we learn to test what God's speaking to us? John 7:17 says, anyone who wants to do God's will can test this teaching and know whether it's from God or whether I am making it up. Today, how many know that it's important to test? It's important to hear God's voice and know when is God speaking, when is it not. Today, I got a short video that I want you to see, and maybe you can relate to this a little bit. It's always good to know when God is speaking. Let's go ahead and show that.
Try this.
Okay.
Take a big swig. Tell me what's that.
It's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah.
No. It can't be okay. I made that on the Super Blendo 6000 that you just bought me. It rotates at 220 miles an hour. It can crush a half a block of ice in 3 seconds. It could puree a brick. No. A 99 cent shake is okay. That smoothie is perfect.
You like your gift, don't you?
I love it.
Well, honey, I have something I need to talk to you about.
Oh.
Well, God asked me to do something, and I'm not quite sure how to do it.
Well, whatever it is, you better do it.
I know, but I don't know how to go about it.
Whatever it is, honey, you should do it. What is it?
Okay. He asked me to get rid of your blender.
That sounds ridiculous, hon.
I know, but it's really serious.
Well, I'll tell you what we can do, hon. We can pray and meditate on it. You know, for a day. If it's God's will to get rid of it, we'll get rid of it. But if it's not His will, that thing costs a lot of money. And I don't want to throw it out because our money is God's money. And without God's money, then we're bad stewards. And I don't want to be a bad steward because I want God to bless us. Sound good?
For a day.
For a day.
Okay. Gotta go.
Have a great day at work.
Okay.
See you this evening. Bye-bye.
Hi, honey. What are you watching?
Oh, nothing.
Hey, could you please put the news on? I really need to see something. Hey, did you think about what we talked about today?
What was that?
What do you mean, what was that? The blender thing.
Yeah, I prayed about that all day today, actually.
And
I thought long and hard about what you said. And I believe that God wants me to have that blender, huh?
He does.
Yeah. I believe that God wants me to have that blender. And it's actually that the devil wants to take it away. The devil wants to steal our joy. And I just don't think that's right.
Well, honey, I know what I felt.
Hey,
I know,
babe,
what God
I'm
was telling me.
I'm the household. And it's my duty to do what I think is right. And I think God wants me to have that blender. And, you know, I really don't think God cares about one little stinky little blender in the world. I mean, he's too busy thinking about other things. And what I do know is that he blessed me with a wonderful wife who loves the Lord and who got me a very wonderful blender. And I don't think anybody wants to steal our happiness.
Well, I guess you're right. All right, we'll keep the blender.
It's your turn.
My turn for what?
It's your turn to bless me with a smoothie.
All right. What do you want?
Surprise me.
Hey.
Good evening, I'm John Slavsky. Our top story tonight, manufacturers of the Super Blendo Mix 6000 have issued a recall of its product. This is the largest recall of an electrical appliance in 6 years.
How many know it's important to know when God's speaking? Sometimes when God speaks, we don't always know this guy. It doesn't seem like it's the right thing. It doesn't make sense to give up sometimes when God's telling us to do something different. And it doesn't make sense. But many times God's speaking, and we just use our own knowledge. And we use our own knowledge. We think, all right, God's speaking about this. And so I feel this way. And so it must be God or it must not be God. And God doesn't always speak that way. So how do we know what's right and what's wrong? That's the million-dollar question we're going to answer today, and we're going to look at it. God in his word has given us ways of testing. He said to test it out and know when is it God speaking and when is it somebody else speaking who has a different motive. And so, number one, today we're going to look at when you're gauging this and testing this. Number one, does it agree with the Bible? Does it agree with the Bible? That's the first way you can test an impression from God. Does it agree with the Bible? Because God's word will never contradict itself. When God's not going to speak to you and contradict his word. Anything, any idea, any impression, anything he has for you to do in your life, anything he wants you to do is not going to contradict God's word. He's not going to violate his word. Look what Luke 21 says. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words, what are his words right here in Scripture? My words will never pass away. Proverbs 12:19, truth stands the test of time. It will always be there. What's that mean? That means if it's true, it will always be true. If it's true 2,000 years ago, it'll be true today. And 5,000 years from today, it'll still be true. God's word is truth, and it does not change. Now, fads change. Therapies change. Ideas change. Trends change. Opinions change. Even science changes. The science books that I had when I was in school are no longer relevant. They've changed many things. How many know we've lost Pluto? Things change. Poor Pluto is not a planet no more. He's gone. Went back to Disneyland. I don't know where he went, but anyway, he's gone. Science changes. Opinion changes. But one thing that does not change is God's word. And he will never contradict himself. When God's speaking to you, does it line up with God's word? Does he speak to you? Is it line up with his word? That's how you test it. Because God's truth never changes. When God says this, when he says that, hey, you are to do this, he doesn't change his mind 2,000. All right, it's okay now to do this. God's truth never changes. Listen to what Galatians 1:8 says. Let God's curse fall upon anyone, including myself, who preaches any other message. Listen to what it says. Even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches any other message, let him forever be cursed. He's saying even if an angel appears to you and contradicts the word of God, don't believe it. That's pretty powerful because he's saying nothing will contradict his words. And so when God speaks to me, first of all, do I realize, does it line up and agree with the Bible? Oh, brother, God gave me a new revelation. I was in prayer. I've been fasting all week long. I've been on a 30-day fast. I haven't ate anything in 30 days besides water. Well, maybe that's why you're hearing things that aren't from God. Your immune system's all tore down. I mean, come on, let's think about it here. God's word is not going to give you any new revelation that's not already in his word. Now, he may reveal something out of his word to you fresh and anew, but there's nothing new going to come that's going to contradict God's word. It is forever the same. God's word does not change. And that's the foundation that you and I, we only build our life upon. How secure is that foundation? If I'm going to put everything I own, everything I trust, all my faith into the word of God, and then all of a sudden somebody else can come along and say, well, God told me this, and it contradicts God's word, I have no stability. So his word has to always be the same so that we learn to build faith and stability in him. So when God speaks to me, he will never contradict his word, okay? And someone says to you, brother, God told me that it's all right. It's all right for me to do this. And though his word says not to do it, that person is just trying to justify what they're doing is wrong. What God calls sin is still sin. What God says to do is right is still right. And he's not going to tell you to do something that's contradictory to his word. Number two, does it make me more like Christ? When God's speaking to you and gives you an idea to do, I want you to do something. Does this idea make me more like Christ? Philippians 2:5 says, in your lives you must think and act like Christ. If that is God's goal for our lives, then he obviously would not put an impression that would take me away from him. He's not going to give me an impression that does not make me grow in my relationship with Christ. When God asks me to do something, he is ultimately trying to get me to be more like him. So when God asks me in my heart and says, I want you to do something, whether it's in being involved in the ministry or whether it's helping somebody out, ultimately what he is doing, he is shaping me and helping me become the person that I want to be in Christ. Not what I want to be, but who he wants me to be in him. He's shaping me to be more like Christ. We know that our destiny is what? To be formed in his image. My destiny is to be more like Christ. Will I ever be exactly like Christ? No, I won't be that way until I get to heaven. But he says he has called us to act like him and to strive for that, to be more Christ-like in everything we do and our actions. And so when God speaks to me, does it move me to be more like Christ? 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, we take every thought captive so that it is obedient to Christ. If I have a thought, is it causing me to be obedient to Christ? Is it causing me to be obedient to him? That's how I test it out. Listen to what James 3:14 says. If you harbor bitter and envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom is of the devil. So listen, if I get a thought that says I should be bitter at somebody, if I get a thought that says, you know what, I would like to have their car. I'm going to go buy me a car just so I can have a car just like their car. I become envious. Well, you know, I have a thought that says, you know what, if I do this, I can bump the person up above me off the ladder so I can make room to climb the ladder myself. That's selfish ambition. Such wisdom is what? From who? From the devil. Now, Pastor, you're telling me, I didn't tell you that. That's what the scripture says. We're just reading the word of God, which does not change. He says, God gives us these thoughts, and Satan does this. If you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, such wisdom, such thoughts are of the devil. Well, listen what else it says here. It says the wisdom that comes from God is pure, is peace-loving, is considerate, is submissive, is full of mercy, it's impartial and sincere. This is a checklist. What a great checklist. You need to write this down and highlight these things in your Bible. When you get thoughts from God and you have ideas and you check it out and say, all right, what am I doing? Is it a pure? Is these thoughts pure? Are they peace-loving? Is it going to promote harmony or is it going to promote conflict? Is it considerate? Is it going to impact somebody else in a good way? Is it considerate about their feelings? Is it considerate about them? Or is it going to mess somebody up? Is it submissive? What's that mean by that? Does it mean, these thoughts going to make me humble? Am I being humble? Am I being teachable? Am I being arrogant about this? If God gives me a thought and all of a sudden I'm married, oh, God spoke to me and I'm told to do this and I'm called to do this, and arrogancy will rise up in you, then I don't believe it's God speaking to you. Because if it's God speaking to you, it will just, the opposite will happen. It'll make you submissive. You'll be humbled by his voice. You'll be humbled that God gives you ideas. You'll be humbled that God has chosen to speak to you. It's submissive. It's full of mercy. I met a lot of people who think they have been pressed by God, and yet they are the most judgmental people I've ever met in my life. I've met pastors. I've met different people this way. They think they're so full of God, but yet they're the most judgmental people I've ever met in my life. Listen, when God's speaking to you, you're full of mercy. And when God gives you an idea, it's not full of judgment. It's full of mercy. Is it impartial? Is it sincere? Don't try to manipulate others to control them. It's the word of God speaking to me. Am I going to use this to try to control somebody, or am I being impartial and sincere? Mark these down. This is our great ways to test whether or not God is speaking. Number three, does my Christian family confirm it? Does my Christian family confirm it? You see, you need wisdom and counsel and advice of other godly people in your life to stay on track. I need that. You need that. We need people in our life. Listen, there's no lone rangers in the kingdom of God. None of us are called to walk it alone. None of us are called to be lone rangers, to be out there on our own. God speaks to me and me only. I can't take advice from nobody else. I can't take counsel from nobody else. I can't take instruction from nobody else. God can speak to me, and I don't need your approval. Now, listen, I'm not talking about going around and needing man's approval for everything. I believe God can speak to you, and you don't have to go around and get everybody's approval. But what I'm talking about is, how do you test it, knowing if God is giving you an idea, if God is asking you to do something, how do you test that? And it's in the multitude. Look what it says here in Ephesians 3:10. God's intent is that through the church, that the manifold wisdom of God should be made known. What's he saying? He's saying through the church, through the family of God, through Christian brothers and believers, other people in your church you're close to, through them, God uses them to have what? To have wisdom in your life. Now, if I go to one person, God gave me this dream, and I want to do this, and they say, that wasn't God. Do I give up on that? I say, well, it must not have been God. No. But if I go to 20 people, and everybody I talk to tells me the same thing, then maybe God's trying to tell you something. Hey, maybe that's not of God. But if I talk to 6 or 7 people, and one person said it's probably not of God, and 5 others say, you know what, I feel the same thing. God, that's just right. God's speaking to you. He confirms that. Then you know in the council, hey, God is speaking to me. God speaks through mature believers. But listen, that's a very key thing, mature believers. I'm not going to go ask somebody God's will for my life who's just gotten saved and they're just learning how to hear the will of God, or somebody who doesn't even come to church. Hey, well, God thinks God speaks to me and I can tell you your will, but yet they never see him at church. Or they can't find him in a church home. They skip from church to church to church to church, and yet you're going to go ask them what God's will. No, you go find people who are plugged in, who are more mature than you, who are faithful, and you see the fruit of the Spirit in their life. You see the fruit coming out of their lives, and you talk to those people, and you say, listen, I feel like God's calling me to do this. Well, ask God to ask me to do this. Pray with me about this. And God speaks to other people. Now, listen, we need people to confirm us. And look what it says, Proverbs 11:9, the wisdom of the righteous can save you. It doesn't say that the wisdom of your best friend, doesn't say the wisdom of the good old boy system is going to save you. It says the wisdom of what? Of the righteous can save you. So we look for righteous people to surround ourselves with. And also, the wisdom of the righteous saves us. But what else happens here? I've been in ministry for many years, and I've talked to thousands of people over the years in ministry. And I've concluded that the two biggest reasons that people mess up their life is this right here. Here's why people mess up their life and get off course. They have no spiritually mature friends involved in their life. And number two, they don't listen to them if they have them. Either they don't have anybody, mature Christian friends in their life they're involved with, and if they do have them, they don't listen to them when they talk. Listen, we've got to be open to listening to other Christian friends and people in our life. That's how God many times confirms in us what he's speaking. Now, what should happen is this, that when God speaks to me, am I going to hear something new for somebody else? Many times it doesn't work that way. What God does is he speaks to that person. And many times that person is speaking and confirming God's word in your life, and you don't, and that person doesn't even know it. I don't know how many times that's happened where I've talked to somebody, been praying with them or counseling them and talking to them in conversation, and we're talking, and they'll come back and say, you don't know this, Pastor, but what you said was right what I was talking about. It's right what I was asking God about. I'd already heard things happen, and I don't even realize that I'm speaking necessarily what God is wanting them to hear as far as this is a word for you, this is confirmation for you. But God is using us. I mean, that's how it works. If we're in tune with the Spirit in our conversation, God will use us. Now, God doesn't always just come to you and say, listen, you go tell this person right now. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about many times when God uses to speak through you, you don't even know God's using you. And God will use you many times to confirm his word, confirm the ideas of the Holy Spirit and other people around you. We've got to learn to go to the multitude of counsel. Proverbs 11:14, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. And don't just keep asking around until you find the right answer. We're good about that. All right, Pastor, what do you think about this? And I'll give you counsel. I didn't like that. Pastor Matt, what do you think about this? I don't like that. All right, Jeremiah, what do you think about that? I don't like that. Okay, let's go to my small group leader. I didn't like what they said. All right. Well, I asked 15, 20 people. Finally, somebody, or my mom's church, that pastor said I could do this, and it was okay. So, Pastor, it must be okay. God's confirming his word in me. No, in the multitude of counsel, there is wisdom. It doesn't mean I keep going around asking everybody until I get the right answer I want to hear. Okay, so God will confirm himself through other people also. But they're not always right. There's been times in my life when God spoke to me, and I had people tell me that I was missing God. But yet, I know through enough counsel, and I called enough godly people that I knew that God was speaking to me, and I had it confirmed through other people. And I didn't let one person or two people tell me that God was not speaking to me. And so you got to know how to hear the voice of God and how to test it. Number four, is it consistent with how God has shaped me? Is it consistent with how God has shaped me? This is a very important one, because why is God going to call you and say, listen, I want you to do this if he has not equipped you to do this at all? Now, many of you here, I like to sing. I love to worship the Lord. But music is really not my thing, okay? I'm not a great musician. I'm not a great singer. I'm adequate, okay? I can get by. I can lead as long as I have a good loud praise team behind me. I'm okay. But I'm not going to get up and say, God's called me to go to American Idol this year. I may not have the voice, but I've got the dance moves, and just been praying about it, and God wants me on American Idol. Doesn't make any sense. I don't have that ability in me. Why would God ask me to go to American Idol if I don't have that ability in me? So I look, how has God shaped me? Look at what it says in Ephesians 2:10. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. God has shaped us. Prepare it in advance. He's preparing us in advance to do what he's called us to do. I remember one time in ministry, my wife and I, we had somebody who came to us and wanted to lead worship. God's called me to be a worship leader. And I just know this is what I'm supposed to do. I'm going to go out, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to lead worship. And, you know, the person was tone deaf. This is no lie. The person was tone deaf, could not hear the key. And how many know that? That's an important thing to do. And I'm saying, all right, God, if you want this girl to lead worship, then you're going to have to heal her tone-deaf ear. She's got to at least be able to sing on key. That's the first start. And so we had to gently talk to her and take her along and say, maybe God's leading you in ministry to help in the music ministry. Maybe it's probably not leading. Maybe it's behind the scenes. Maybe it's organizing. Maybe it's making phone calls. Maybe it's worshiping, you know. But God is not necessarily calling you to hold the mic in your hand because you can't sing. You're tone-deaf. Because God shapes you for what he's called you to do. So if God's speaking to you, has he shaped you to do that? We got to look and see, what has God shaped me to do? God has what? This chair is shaped for me to do what? This bench? What is it called? The stool? It is shaped for me to what? To sit on, so I know what it is. The God shaped this mic stand for me to sit on. How many know that would be painful? Okay, I'm not going to do that. And the singers would not appreciate that next week when they go up to sing. You got to know what you are shaped for. You got to discover, what am I shaped for? God is not going to speak to you and tell you to do something he has not equipped you to do. Does that mean God doesn't get me out of my comfort zone? No. Many times he does. He stretches us, and he'll ask you to do things that maybe you've never done before. But he will gift you to do those things. Well, Pastor, what do you mean? Well, let's think about it here. If God calls you to speak, Pastor, God's called me to be a pastor. He's called me to preach every week in front of people. That's good, but can you lead a small group now? If you can't even lead a small group because you're too nervous to speak in front of five people, what makes you think God's going to use you now to speak in front of multi people here, okay? So think about it. What has God shaped me to do? Does it mean God can't get me there? No, but it means God is going to shape me, prepare me along the way. He'll confirm that in me, okay? And so we have to learn, you know, and if God wants to do it, can God do a miracle in my life and transform me overnight? Yes, he can. If God wants you to preach overnight, he'll give you that ability overnight. If God wants you to sing overnight, he can give you that ability overnight. But he doesn't do that many times. Very seldom we see that. Matter of fact, when he does do that, usually he has to send the signs and wonders to confirm that. I mean, look at Moses. Moses was a stutterer, and God said, hey, I want you to lead my children out of Israel. And he's like, God, you want me to do what? You know? How am I going to talk to the king? I stutter. So how would Moses think that was of God? No, he didn't. So how did God prove it? God spoke to Moses. How? In a burning bush. I mean, he had to confirm, Moses, this is me. I'm going to speak to you in a burning bush. I'm going to set this bush on fire, and the voice of God is going to come. How many know if a burning bush appears in our backyard tomorrow, and God's speaking out of it, I'm going, okay, all right. That may be God. I can listen. And when the handwriting's on the wall, I can listen. But if God isn't speaking through a burning bush, just because I dreamed it, or just because I want to do that, many times it's not God, okay? It's our own selfish desires. Man, I would like to worship, and so I think it'd be good for me to do that. If I can't sing, what has God shaped me for? So when God's speaking to me, is it consistent with how God has shaped me? And if I'm not shaped to do that yet, then maybe God is speaking to me to do that, but maybe it's going to be something in the distance, okay? Maybe it's going to be in the far future. He's preparing me now to get me to that place. And so God will always shape us, prepare us to do what he's called us to do and what he speaks to us to do. Romans 12:6, God has given each of us the ability to do certain things well. All right, number five, does it concern my responsibility? Does it concern my responsibility? If it's not your responsibility, why would God in the world, would God speak to you about it? If it doesn't concern you, why is God going to speak to you about it? Well, God speaks to me about this person over here, and I believe that if God wants to tell them this, does it involve you? Why is God speaking to you about them if you're not even friends with them? You're not connected with them in any small group? Why is God speaking to you about them? Is it your responsibility? Look at what it says here in John 2:1. Go back to the story I was talking about earlier when I opened up. And Peter was talking to Jesus here after the crucifixion. And he says, all right, Jesus, you just told me how I'm going to die. And he says, now what about John here? And this is what Jesus says to him. Peter, it's none of your business what I do with him. You follow me. Jesus said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? But you must follow me. So Peter was trying to find out the will of God for John. Here God speaks to Peter about his will. All right, this is how I'm going to die, so I'm going to do. All right, what about John? And Jesus says, hey, you don't worry about John. You worry about Peter. Let me speak to you about you, and I'll take care of John here, okay? If I want to keep him alive for 2,000 years, don't worry about it, okay? I'll take care of John. Me and John, we're going to be okay. You deal with Peter. And so, listen, God, many times, is it my responsibility? Is God going to speak to me about everybody else in church? If you're not the pastor of those people, if you're not in a shepherding role with those people, I don't believe God's always going to speak to you about everybody else around you, okay? So you need to get those ideas out of your head, because what happens many times, it's easy to concentrate. God's speaking to me about them, but does God ever speak to you about you? Oh, it's easy to hear God's voice from my neighbor, but can I hear God's voice about me changing? Oh, I'm so holy today. I heard God's voice for so-and-so over here. God wants you to prosper and do this and change this. Well, when's the last time you heard God speak to you about what he wants you to change? You see, it's easy to get caught up in it because we justify what God's speaking to me, and I'm holy because I'm hearing God's voice for everybody else. And if I can do that, then I'll have to hear God's voice for myself and deal with the things that I need to deal with. And so does it concern me? Listen, if you're in a ministry role, if you're leading a small group, if you're leading the ministry, then God many times will speak to you to encourage people in you, people you are shepherding, people you are guiding. Many times God speaks to me as I'm praying for people to share with them things. But I'm not, listen, if I'm not in their group, if I'm not dealing with them, he's not necessarily going to deal with me about going and giving them a word, okay? So realize that. Maybe if God is putting something on your heart, then maybe he just wants you to pray for them, okay? That's a good way to test. If God is speaking to you about your neighbor, then maybe he wants you just to pray for them. Not necessarily say this is God's will for you, but you just pray that God's will be done in their life, what he's telling you about. Stay focused on your responsibilities. Like I said, many times God will use you to speak to them when they don't even know that you're speaking to them. Many times God will use you to speak to them, and in conversation things will happen. And that's how I say, if God's giving you a word for somebody, usually that will give opportunity in itself to share, okay? If God's giving you something, is it God's will? You don't have to force it. It'll happen. that person will come to you and say, let's do lunch, or let's talk, and they'll begin to talk about the very thing that God gave you in your heart and open up the door for you just to share your opinion, to share what God's speaking to your life. And so then I know, all right, God, you must have gave this to me to share to them because you have opened up the responsibility and a way for me to share it with them. So number six, let's go to number six. Is it convicting rather than condemning? How do I test this? Is it convicting rather than condemning? Conviction comes from God. Condemnation comes from the devil. So if God is speaking to me, I'm going to judge it. If God is speaking something to me, is it conviction or is it condemning? If it's conviction, it's God speaking to me what? To draw close to him. God exposes what is wrong in my life through conviction. This needs to change. God will speak to his voice. If you're hearing a voice telling you an idea, I need to change this. I need to stop doing this and do better in this area of my life. I need to do better in my walk with God. That's God speaking to you. If you hear a voice that says this, attacks your value. You're nothing. You're worthless. God can't use you. You're pitiful. You're ugly. You have no value. Those things are not of God. Those are of Satan. Satan will condemn you. He'll speak those voices to you. God, I know you want to do this, but you can't do that. You can't teach the children. You can't even raise your own children right. Look what you did. See, Satan will condemn you and speak words of condemnation to you to get you to stop from doing God's will in your life. And so how do I test it? Is it convicting or is it condemning? If it's a convicting voice, and then I know it's of God because God's Spirit convicts me. His Spirit is what convicts me. And conviction does what? It draws me closer to God. Conviction tells me areas of my life I need to change. Conviction draws me close to him. And condemnation tries to draw me away from him. So condemnation is from the devil. Romans 8:1 says this, there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ Jesus. Wow, what a powerful verse to live our life by. I don't know how to say this any clearer than this. If you still feel guilty after you have confessed sin in your life, that guilt is not from God. That guilt comes from Satan. Because God doesn't make you feel guilty for the stuff that he's already forgiven you about. He's not going to bring it back up. If you confess your sin to God, the next day he's not going to get up and make you feel guilty about that sin. That is Satan making you feel guilty. And so how do I know if it's an idea from God? Is it convicting me, drawing me close to him, or is it condemning me, drawing me away from him? I use this as a measuring guide to see if it's God or if it's Satan. And in closing today, number seven, do I sense God's peace about it? What a good way to test whether or not it's the will of God. Do I sense God's peace about what he's speaking to me? If you get an impression it makes you feel pressured, if it makes you feel overwhelmed, if it makes you feel confused, I question whether or not that really is from God. If it makes you in a spirit of confusion, a spirit of pressure, of being overwhelmed and making you feel like you're so nervous, is God? No, God is not the author of confusion. Look at what it says in 1 Corinthians 14:33. God is not the author of confusion. So when God speaks to you, even though it may be something that you don't understand, maybe it may be something that you don't feel like doing, maybe something you got to change, when it's God speaking to you, still yet you will still have a peace in your heart in knowing that God is speaking to you. That God's going to help you do what he's asked you to do. That God's going to direct you in making the right decision. God's going to help you do what you can't do on your own. If I feel pressure from it, if I feel like I can't do this, that's not of God. It's probably not of God because the peace of God will rule my heart. That's what it says. The peace of God is a regulator. It will rule my heart. And God is not the author of confusion. So God is speaking. Are we listening? How do we know when it's God? And how do we know when it's Satan? These seven ways are such a good test, and I hope that you wrote them down. If you didn't, you need to go back on the website, get those notes down, and write them down, because it's such a great test to see. God, is this you speaking, or is this Satan speaking? God is speaking. We got to learn to identify his voice. We got to learn to say, God, I want to know if this is you. How do I hear your voice? Preparing my heart, preparing my ears, learning to read your word, and get his voice into my life. Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we love you. Lord, we love you this morning. Lord, you are speaking to us. And we know that your Spirit is speaking to us. God, your Word says that you speak to us. But God, we got to learn to tune in, and we got to learn to know when it's God speaking and when Satan's speaking to us. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Gene, you're talking about God speaking. I hear God speaking to me this morning, and he's telling me that I need to accept him as my Lord, my personal Savior. Maybe you're here today and you say, Pastor Gene, I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Or maybe you have at one point in your life, but you turned your back on him and you've ran from him. And today you say, I want to get right with Jesus Christ. I want to rededicate my life to him. If that's you here today, no one's looking around, I won't embarrass you, but you say, Pastor Gene, I want to accept Jesus today. Can you raise your hand? I want to make sure you have the opportunity here. Thank you. Anybody else today? Anybody else? Can you raise your hands? That's me. If we go any further, let's pray this prayer. Please repeat after me. Say, Dear Jesus, come into my life. Be Lord of my life. I accept your forgiveness. I accept your love. Forgive me my sins. Be Lord of my life. Today, if you prayed that prayer, I know there was one person today that raised their hand. If you prayed that prayer, you know it's your entry to the kingdom of God. And being a Christian is not just praying a prayer, but it's also about turning away from sin and beginning to walk away from it. Doesn't mean you won't be perfect. That means you begin to walk away from the sin and things the Spirit of God will begin to convict you about, as I was talking about this morning. Not condemn you about, but convict you about. Those things will draw you close to God. Make sure you talk to somebody today and let them know, hey, I accepted Jesus Christ. I prayed that prayer today. I'm going to invite you to stand with me this morning. I'm going to pray a gentle prayer this morning in closing. Let's just pray to God. Father, Lord, we thank you today, God. You are speaking to your people. We thank you to God. You didn't leave us alone, God, without any direction. But God, you gave us a roadmap. You gave us direction, and you speak to us, God. Your word says that you are speaking to your people. And God, we're learning, Lord, not only to hear your voice, but God, now we're learning to filter and say, God, what is God and what is my flesh? What is God and what is Satan? And God, I pray as we begin to apply these things through our life, God, and test the word of God, test what's being said, that God, your word comes alive in our heart. And God, a faith would build in our heart. And Father, as we begin to filter out the things that are not of you, God, we become obedient to the things that are of you. As we confirm, yes, this is God. This is God directing me. This is God speaking to me. We're going to walk in faith, and we're going to take a hold of that. We're going to be obedient. And God, as we are obedient, your word says that you will then reveal the kingdom of heaven to us. Blessed are our ears that hear and do the will of the Father. And God, we're going to walk in that today. We're going to rest in that today. Father, I pray for blessing. God, for your people, when we walk in blessing this week and in the will of the Father, in the name of Jesus. Everybody said, amen and amen. Shake a hand before you leave. Hug a neck before you leave. It's good to see you today. Say, God bless you.